This is RSBNB Update, episode 448, recorded Saturday, January 18th, 2014. Voting for Archway. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of RSBNB Update. Just me and Trekkie here this week.
Yo!
Otherwise affectionately known as J1, J2, J3 on RS, which is one of the very...
J-cubed.
J-cubed. There you go. It's very easy to type.
Yeah, just like Ice Cube.
There you go. That's a good way of remembering it. But yeah, we got a small amount of updates this week, but... probably one of the biggest updates in direction of game changing that we've seen for quite some time. And people are going to like this, or people are not going to like this. And let's just get started with Power to the Players, the new poll system. It's out. So,
yes, just.
I know what we both voted for in the first Dragonstone poll, that is Invention versus Elf City.
Yes.
We voted for the Elf City.
Mm-hmm.
As of recording this, Elf City is currently winning with 55% of the vote. Invention is at 44%. So we got some little rounding issues there, but that's what it's looking like. And fingers crossed that everything will stay this way through the entire voting period. I know they talked a bit in the behind-the-scenes video about the Elf City, but we'll get there just exactly what that'll include. There was a rather funny quote on that. But there are two other types of polls that are currently running as well. That's the Diamond and Ruby polls. Diamond polls are polls that are significant, that, you know, can change the game, whereas Ruby polls are just, you know, the most basic poll that you can get. And... you know, I think that we were expecting most of the polls out there to be of the level of Diamond or Ruby. The ones that are, of course, going to be contentious are the Dragonstones, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Diamond polls running this month is the drop table improvement. So you'll be able to choose from beasts, demons, elementals, and ghosts, or alternatively say they're fine as they are. Now, for some reason I don't understand, the demons are winning this one rather than the beasts. Because if you think of a dark beast, the dark beast has a very, very poor drop table. Which one did you choose on this?
I chose the demons.
Oh, okay.
I actually chose the demons primarily because a lot of people are fighting lesser demons, greater demons, black demons, imps. And I kind of figured, you know, I think it would be nice if they got some new drops. Because, you know, if you think about lesser demons, they're kind of like the mid-level range monsters that people fight off.
Yeah.
And so basically, you know, low level can get some new items, you know, not super powerful, but decent enough for their time, for their level. And same with Dark Beast. Dark Beast, you know, all day drops are just runes. That's the only thing you really can get out of those anyway.
Exactly.
The Beast one was Dark Beast, Baliskas, and Tauros, and Moraska. Morgus? I can't say that one. But you look at those, they're all one thing. They're all Slayer Beast.
Yeah.
That means nothing unless you're going to slay them.
And
no one's really going to go... no one's really going to have their way to slay these for their drops. So it's kind of mute point for me to vote for those.
And that's why I chose the Dark Beasts. Because the Dark Beasts right now are a level 90 Slayer creature. And when they came out, they dropped the Dark Bow. Which, being a level 70 weapon now, really isn't that great. And there's no reason to really fight those things at 90. Compared to the Eruz from last month in December. Harbingers of Tuska was the update name. At 92, mm-hmm. I think it is. There's much more reason to fight those than there is to fight Dark Beasts. So I think that my choice for choosing the Beasts was that the Slayer needs to have higher and better drops in it. Because if you think about it, when it first came out, Slayer was a real moneymaker. Abyssal Whips were $27 million each. So maybe with the Abyssal Demons on here, them being level 85, we might see something new from them. And, I mean, that could be worthwhile as well, because everybody gets 85 Slayer for the Abyssal Demons.
You know, for Ghosts, I didn't think most of them were really too bad. God, we're spiritual creatures. Like, everyone slayed those for Dragon Boots anyway. Not as worth as much as before, but people still do when they have them anyway. They're always a good task to have. Spectres, most people slay them for the Herb Drops. For the Herb Lord Drops. That's the only reason anyone fights those things anyway.
Yeah.
The other Ghast is kind of pointless, because we only fight those for the quest, and that's basically it, unless you really you're a low level when you train Prayer. Elementalists, I didn't give, really didn't care. Dust Devils, they never dropped me anything. Jerks.
Yeah, that one in...
What's the drop of Dragon Chain? I have yet to see them drop a Dragon Chain. I have killed thousands. Yeah,
something like one in 10,000 or something really stupid rare like that, but...
It's not fair.
All right, well, we'll see which one wins there, and maybe... Abyssal Demons will actually be worth going to fight again, seeing as whips are only less than a million now. So, the next one is deciding on maps for a new minigame that's coming out in February. So you'll be able to choose from Ashdale, which is the new tutorial area, Caniphus, Isifdar, that's the Elven Lands, the Wilderness, and Zanaris are none of the suggestions. Which one do you choose for that?
I chose Elven Land.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And, you know, people are choosing Caniphus for some reason, which Darkmire is also going to be included. And those two areas are kind of the same. So that's a little confusing. But
I think it's one of those things that, like, they chose Caniphus because it's relatively easy to get to now. A lot easier to get to than before. The quest itself is relatively easy to finish off. But the other thing also is, I think with Caniphus, it's one of those, you had a reason to go there. I chose the Elven Land for more storyline driven. I wanted to say, like, if they were to release this around February, that's the idea. And, you know, we could use that as a catapult to say, like, we're training to go into the Elven City when we need you to infiltrate the Elven City. And this is what we need to do to train you. And that, you know, that was going for that route. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Although, let's see, now, Top Secret minigame to release in November.
I don't think that you will actually go to these areas to compete in the minigame. I think it's just a map that looks like it, similar to how they did that. You know, maybe this is a rework of Mobilizing Armies.
That would be nice.
I mean, that's as close as we get to StarCraft II and RuneScape, right?
That thing is... by far not even close to a mini game. I'm so used to clicking and dragging and selecting my units that I can't click on one and tell them to do one thing. It's so freakishly annoying. I feel like I should just buy my gear.
Yeah, so I mean,
we kinda farm each other.
Yeah. And this thing does kind of look like Mobilizing Armies could be it, but if it's a new mini game, I have no idea what it will be. I don't know what they could do, but well,
as I said, I kind of think that if they had an Elven Land, they could use that as a catapult to the lore of going infiltrating Elven City for one reason or another.
True. All right, so you know, as I said when this came out, I expected that. I mean, this might not be the best way to go, and we'll see what happens with all these things and how they turn out. So. That's it for the poll system this time. I will say that you can watch the behind-the-scenes video where they actually answer questions about both of these potential updates in the Dragonstone poll, being the Elf City and Invention. There was a very funny thing that was said in one of the questions about Invention. Will it just be the city, or will it be a quest and the city? And they said it will need to be associated with a quest, a Grandmaster quest. So we know what that means, Grandmaster. That's always good. And they said he said one very key thing that made me feel good, that they really realize what's going on here. And he said something along the lines, if we didn't release a quest, we'd be killed. So, fingers crossed that a quest will come out with this, should this prevail.
Ed, that kind of answers the other question, doesn't it?
What's
one of our little audio questions that we have later on?
Oh yeah, we'll just refer to it then. But yeah, other things that also constitute Saren coming back, so that could be interesting, and more proof that I was right with the invention skill. So,
joy.
All right, you have anything else on the poll system?
We should, while we're at it, we should vote for a new, some new materials to be entered into the game. Would you vote to get some Archerite into the game, Shane? There we go. Oh, I did my civic duty for the week on this show. Only Shane can laugh like this.
Oh boy. Okay.
I did my civic duty, Shane.
Yeah, make sure I don't cut one of your antennae off. All right. So let's move on to Hattie and Skull. Those returned on the 16th at midnight GMT. Kind of interesting that they slipstreamed that into the update and had them appear midweek. I think they actually appeared with the update last year, so it's nice they did it this way. Okay, so what do you want to ask me about these?
Well, where are they?
Well, you know, it's the general Fremenic area. The best way, of course, is to get there is with a modified house teleport tablet. But if you don't have that, just walk north from Sears Village. And the Hattie Wolf can spawn pretty much anywhere in that area. It's good to go to a populated world and do it during the day. That way then you can find it easily, and it goes really quick. It's very easy to kill. You could probably take it yourself. If you're higher leveled on your own, you just would take more time. And that's pretty much all there is to finding the wolf. I did not venture to find Skull because I already have 99 woodcutting and agility, so I'm not after the bonus XP in that skill. But rumor has it that one is harder to find.
Yeah, so I remember you have to really get a group together and kind of go out and look for them.
Yeah, light fires, bonfires.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. So we got those two things. So you need to bring anything with you in order to, besides, you know, armor, gear, and weapons.
Well,
and
the wolf has no weakness, so just bring whatever combat type is your best.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good general rule of thumb. Attack it with thresholds. And then when you kill it, you'll actually get either the spear or the helmet, and you will only get one of those. You will not get the other. So if you get the helmet on the first kill, you will not get the spear in any subsequent kills. You will always get the helmet. This is important, because in order to get both, you need to trade your extra spear with someone in order to get that helmet, or vice versa. Now, basically what you do is you take the spear and helmet and then take them to the person near the divination colony, whose name is Ear, and then once you do that, you'll get a choice, which is, I think, the update everybody should be going for this year with Hattie and Skull, is a choice between bonus prayer XP or bonus divination XP.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely want to take advantage of this this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for the paws and claws, are they an automatic drop, or do you have to kind of kill and pray?
Well, the paws, you know, it's like every year. You might get it on the first go, you might not. So it could take a couple of kills to get, but it's not stupidly rare. I got mine this year on the second kill, and all you need to do, if you still have the paws from the previous year, is just attempt to pick them up, and it will say that your Hattie paws have been recharged.
I think I destroyed mine, so it's probably...
Yeah, so you'll get me ones.
With the anger. Okay.
And also,
I think that's about... It's so hard. Nothing.
Okay. I was going to say also there's a really, really kind of odd thing going on here. You know, in the combat formula, every skill except for prayer has a role in it now, including summoning.
Uh-huh.
So I was a bit surprised with this in that it's only actual combat skills and not summoning that you can use from the pause, meaning that every skill except summoning and prayer in terms of combat skills is valid to be used on. I would have really liked it if they would have allowed summoning to be given out as bonus experience.
Hmm. Well, I need to get more range up, so that's kind of useful for me.
And I think that's where mine's going to go as well, ranged, because ranged is my lowest currently. So,
yeah, same here. My prayer, I can get, I think I can get 99 if I actually keep at it, but my range is going to take a while. My main range training method so far has been dungeoneering. That's what it was there. I just shoot.
See,
yeah.
I would say go for your lowest combat skill overall with this. That seems to be the way to go. But if you're, for the other one, divination or prayer, if you're under 92 prayer or 95 prayer, definitely go for the prayer XP. Forget about the divination XP. Divination is fast enough as a skill. The only thing with prayer is that it's expensive, so if you can cut down the cost on that, all the better, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my way of tackling it this year.
Okay. Let's see how to. Let me see anything else on here.
I will.
I think that's pretty much it.
All right. I will also add that the amount of experience you get is astounding. At level 90 divination, I was given around 200,000 bonus experience with the bonus XP from turning that in.
Nice. I'm not even close to 90 though.
Yeah, so I mean, it of course scales with your level. So what you need to do is, if you go to the wiki here, you can actually see what you get for turning these in. So if you turn these in and bonus experience given at each level, what's your divination level?
Only 77.
All right, so at 77, you would get 173,000 bonus experience.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Now, what's your prayer level?
96.
96. You would get 345,000 bonus experience.
Hmm. Your rewards, you're being closer to 99.
What happened? Yeah,
well, I mean,
it makes sense because that's...
I'm 106 Dungeoneering. Well, how much would I get if I put it in that?
You can't do it on Dungeoneering.
Can I even put it in Dungeoneering? Of course.
Yeah, it's only prayer and divination for that one. But right, on the other hand, the Hattie Paws, you know, you remember previously before they changed the bonus XP update, how it would be dependent on...
Yeah, you just had to wear it.
You just had to wear it in whatever mm-hmm. type of combat you were doing. Well, now mm-hmm. it's been changed to actually be an item that just grants bonus experience. So it's kind of unfortunate that you can't pick and choose which one you use it on now. But you only get one choice. So you can only use it on ranged, or you can only use it on defense, or you can only use it on attack. You can't swap around based on what combat type you're doing, which, I mean, I just find that really unfortunate. But you do get more XP now.
Yay!
A huge amount more XP. Like if you're level 90 attacks and use it on that, or 90 constitution, you'll get an extra 648,000 experience.
Okay.
Which is massive.
Yay.
Alright, I think that pretty much covers these. They'll be in the game for quite some time, so take your time going there, but definitely do go get your bonus rewards for this, because I mean, if you think about it, agility, that is a skill that is painful as well. So let's say you're level 70 agility, you'll get 424,000 bonus experience from the boots this year.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So basically, With that being said, in the time it takes you to do that, you would get roughly 848,000 experience in the time it would take you to get, get 400,000. So if you're at 70, you can effectively double your XP and go from 70 to 77 with that. Just putting that in perspective.
Yay!
All right. Well, that's it for Hattie and Skull, I think, unless you have any other queries pertaining to it.
I don't know how long they're going to be here.
I do not know. That was not posted on the post.
All right.
They're normally here until February, at least, I think. So we should have some time.
All right, what's next?
All right, we're going to move on to questions now, because I didn't really feel there was...
What about the behind the scenes?
The behind-the-scenes video, we already talked about that. I said that that's where he said they'd be shot if they didn't include a quest.
So. Okay. I should give him an apple on the head, too.
And try and knock it off?
Or deliberately miss, take your pick.
All right. Well, let's move on to the question, shall we? Who have we got first?
We have another question from Mormumska.
Hello, Shane and Temple Trekkie. Anyways, 2014, Mormumska's back. How you doing? Just a small follow-up. What did you use your festive aura on? I mainly used it on prayer and got 95. Yeah, baby, yeah. And also, out of 1 to 10 compared to the last world event, how much do you like this one? I give it a 10 because the gods aren't doing Kamehameha's 24/7. That's all I have for now. Letting you off easy with two questions this week. Anyway, talk to you next time. Mormumska out.
What are the gods doing?
Right now they're just sitting on their throne trying to tell us what to do.
Ah, okay. So, I use mine mainly on construction from the world event.
Yeah, same here. That's kind of like what all of us have been doing, ain't it?
Before the world event came out for the first 2 weeks of December, it was used for divination training to level 90. So that's pretty much where all mine went.
Festive Aura itself, I honestly didn't really use it. I just didn't have the time to use it.
Aw, that's too bad. Well, you know what I mean?
No. I was just too busy.
It was a max of 50,000 experience or 30 minutes a day, which, I mean, depending on what you're doing, can go really quick. If you're creating blue charm summoning familiars, which I did a couple days, that goes in about 3 runs. So.
Yeah, but we've been nice. I just didn't have the time.
So the ranking of this world event, what would you give it out of 10?
God, I don't know. I'll give it an 8.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that one as well, primarily because I like the way it's set up with the PvP component and the construction component and how it's shorter, but I don't think it was as dimensional on a story perspective as the first one was, primarily because it didn't disrupt as many people as the first one did. I mean, so many buildings were destroyed in Lumbridge there with the first one, and it seemed as though the people of Lumbridge were actually having a role in this, whereas this one is just roving caravans that you can choose to defend and or attack. And it seems more like a minigame on this one than an actual world event. So that's why I'll go with 8. And also...
You finish up.
Okay.
Finish up first.
Also, I think that Jagex wanted to test out PvP in this world event, but in order to test it out effectively, they need people who are actually willing to fight back at the places where they're being attacked. And from my experience, most of the people out there who get attacked just let themselves die and then respawn and move elsewhere. Now, this is fine in terms of the mechanics of the world event, but it's really not providing the necessary litmus test as to what people want for PvP. I've only seen a couple of people through a couple of days, a few of the days, actually engaging in open PvP in the World Event site. So,
I've had some people do that. They kind of tag team.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that it's a small pool of people that they're going to be looking at for what was going on with PvP. And I think that if this is a model that they can see works, you don't lose anything. It's all about taking the person down and maybe getting some reward from it. I think that could be a feasible model for PvP. And I'm just going to say this, is that a couple of times I actually went there in my armor and attacked some people. And I'll just say that I did feel the same rush for PvP in RS as I do in Star Trek Online.
Of course not, because it's about the guy who has double dry gores. Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Again, people were better at me in PvP here anyway, with 10 times better gear.
Exactly. And that's the thing that was really annoying about this. But because remember, as your level increases and the level of your equipment increases, it goes up exponentially. The difference between 90 and 80 is bigger than the difference between 80 and 70, and that's why you have such a disparity. But anyways, continue.
No, that's nothing really. I had people fight back. I had people who actually went out and tried to fight each other. That was kind of fun just to be a part of it. But usually I just finish dungeoneering or something, and by the time when I go there, I'm dead.
Okay, so you didn't really feel the need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you, Marumska, for that question. Next one is an audio question from Parnassius.
Greetings, Shane and Tricky. This is Parnassius from the land down under, where I have just sweated through 2 days of 42-degree heat and an expected 44 tomorrow, and that's Celsius. While trying to keep cool, I had time to think of my goals for RuneScape for the coming year. One specific thing I am setting for myself is to try and successfully solo next. What I'd like to know is, what are your goals for the game overall, and is there anything in specific you'd like to achieve this year? Also, having seen the voting system introduced now, do you think it is too simplistic? Should the skill versus Elf City also have had an I don't mind option? Also, I have noticed they have said Elf City and not Elf Quest. Does this mean that the voting for Elf City does not necessarily mean we will get the final chapter of the Elf Quest immediately? Hope you are both well and looking forward to the new podcast.
All right, so RS goals for 2014.
Learn how to solo bosses better. That's my goal.
Okay.
Or just do more boss hunting in general.
Anyone's in particular?
I can do so. I am able to solo bandas okay, but I really need the gear in order to really stay there for a longer period of time and probably get summoning up to get a yak. Found out I can do Galcor pretty well. The other ones I haven't tried yet. I really want to do more boss hunting. I really do those, and I really think I should start doing some. I have to say though, talk about more about that later.
Okay. anything else?
What was the other part?
Well, okay, I'll just talk about my goals, then we'll move on to the other part about the voting and Elf City. So, for me, my biggest goals of this year, leveling up the few skills I have left that are under 90, and they're all 85 plus, so it won't take too terribly long to do it, so I'm on my way to doing that. Another thing I really want to do this year, kind of in line with your bossing thing, is upgrade my weapons arsenal to something better than level 70 gear, probably aiming for some sort of dry gore type weaponry. And completing the ports armor this year. So that would be my main goal this year.
Yay.
Because, you know, what I've been using Barrow's armor ever since it came out.
I've used Bandus.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's the same thing. I probably have the same defense and life point boost as you do because the Bandos armor is power armor. So that's what I would really like to accomplish this year. And I'm well on my way to doing that, actually, with the Queen Black Dragon. And I'm trying to replicate your luck at the Glacors, which I'll let you... That won't take your thunder away, but I'll let you talk about that later. So, yeah, with that being said, I don't agree with that on the polling system. Because if you put a I don't care option, people will just say I don't care. And then the amount of people who are actually deciding with a concrete vote goes down. And it just means that fewer people are actually participating. You get a less representative sample. Because, I mean, if there's people who don't care who would choose the invention skill otherwise over the quest because they don't like quest, and they choose I don't care, that means that those votes are making the invention percentage higher. So
Who cares? Hey, you don't vote, you don't vote. Then you reap the benefits or reap the consequences. Take your pick.
Yeah, and I mean, for things that are clearly just not yes or no, not voting is as good as saying you don't care. When an option is presented, like the elf quest or the invention, not voting means you don't care. But, you know, they did add an option on the map one this month, didn't they, for the minigame maps of I don't care. And none of these for the boss drop table reworks either. So. All right.
All right.
You?
I want the Elven City to be open now. Invention is great, but as I remember, we were kind of promised a new skill this year anyway. So it's like, you know what? Invention's coming one way or another. They probably already made it. They're just not going to release it that soon.
Yeah, you know, skills take a long time to do, and work probably has already begun. It's just a matter of what gets prioritized.
Yeah, so they're probably, you know, like I said last podcast, they have all this stuff written. They just need to say, hey, let's start this first. All right, let's focus more effort on this one. And then that's basically it. They probably have all the backbone, the background stuff all ready to go. All they need to do is just, you know, finish up, make it look nice, polish it, sandblast it, and you know, that's about it.
Yep. And, you know, from my understanding, that's what this poll system was. Unless it's a clear yes or no, all the other content presented in these polls will be options at later dates. And the last part we talked about in the behind the scenes. So Osborne basically said that he thinks he'd get killed if there was not a quest. So there will probably be a quest.
And but they didn't say it would be the end to the quest series.
They said Grandmaster. Yes, they will.
Doesn't mean that they'll stop it right then and there.
It had better stop right then and there.
Or what?
What are you going to do? That would be being strung along. We've waited 10 years. That's enough. So, that's how we both feel on that. And as you can tell, we're very passionate about it now, aren't we? All right. Thank you, both of you, for your audio questions. If you want to send in an audio question like these two did, just email them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave a voicemail on Skype. Username is rsbnbupdate, no spaces. Or leave us a voicemail on our Google Voice, which is 571-572-2632. Alrighty, read us the next question.
All right, next question. This question is from... I lost my place. Arya. All right. Hello, host, long-time listener, and RuneWire stalker. I love the point you made, Shane, in the last update about the ports possibly being accessible on your mobile device. Since voyages can be rather lengthy, it will be great to be able to access them wherever you are in life outside the computer. My question is, what other aspects of the game would you like to see made available on mobile device? I think RS should be charged a small fee to be able to use the application. Thanks for all the hard work. And I could see Jagex charging, having a, you know, like a 99 cent or $1.99 for the app, but I think what's more likely is how you keep it secure. But that's my little 2 cents on it so far. But go ahead, Shane.
I would not charge for it because the game itself is free, and that would just increasing
the barrier to entry to
the actual game. What was that?
It could be a premium edition.
Yeah, you're right. It could. You could require members, and that would be the fee for it. So that's another option. But in regards to other things aside from ports, I think there's potential for developing some mobile-only mini games that you can compete in with other players. Maybe maybe five other players have a table-type game with six players around. And have some sort of RuneScape theme to it, maybe. And then, based on what you do in that game, you could earn stuff for your character. Basically, think of it like a form of dungeoneering sinkholes on mobile, controlled by your thumbs rather than your mouse and keyboard. That's one thing.
Or do you play those checker games in the game room in Birthroom?
Yeah, there you go. And, I mean, that sort of thing could be done. And, I mean, that could be a totally unique way of reorganizing the game room into something useful. Because I know the last time I went down there was when we went down there to check it out. I never went down there again after.
I've been there a couple of times, but no one's usually there. We had some clan events that were there, so we just tagged along. But as a whole, it's really empty. Another place, I think Grand Exchange, you know, there's always been a demand for Grand Exchange to be added to the mobile device to check on items or whatnot. Or, you know, I think if they really wanted to do it, they can make it so that you can manipulate the price. I guess you can still have you enter your quote-unquote bank PIN on your phone or something along those lines to manipulate the prices or whatnot, but you can't withdraw it to your account. Might be a little small security feature.
I mean, accessing the bank inventory and Grand Exchange on the mobile device would be interesting in terms of checking out what you're currently selling and whatnot. But aside from actually being useful in the same way ports is, where it's contributing to your character or a separate game, I don't know that the Grand Exchange really is that important. Like, it would be good to access for, you know, putting new items up and whatnot. But, I mean, just putting your entire bank on a mobile device so you can bank manage and whatnot, it just seems kind of one-dimensional.
And, you know, with the whole mobile device and talking about doing mini-games, they can incorporate mobile phone use with the new mini-games they're planning on releasing soon.
Exactly.
I don't know what it is yet, but you never know.
And what you do... Oh, how neat would
Shane
this be?
Shane just had epiphany.
How neat would
Shane
this
just
be?
Had epiphany.
How neat would this be? For this mini game that's coming out in February, you download the app from the App Store, put it on your phone, and then you can get people, one, two, three people in real life, say we get together and we get together here and we sync our phones together and we go in as a team into this new mini game and we play with people a different aspect of the game who are playing in RuneScape. So an example of this might be, let's just say, this is really, really far out there, but let's just say as it was like a fighter game where you were flying these flying dragons, let's just say, I'm just making this up as I go along, and you have one person piloting the dragon who is currently in the actual game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have people on the mobile device who are creating provisions and whatnot and battling it out in little hand-to-hand kind of games and puzzles like Angry Birds-esque and that sort of thing, the kind of puzzle you'd see in a dungeoneering type thing on your mobile device. And for each puzzle you complete successfully against another person or the amount of stuff you destroy in the Angry Birds type game, you generate more provisions for the people actually in that minigame.
But what if, well, it's going to be kind of hard to sync up worlds and whatnot, unless they do a official world and just stay with that one.
Well, no, they can do it. They do instance boss fights. Oh, that's a good idea.
Shane had an epiphany.
All right. Thank you, Ara. Very good question. Next question is from Scream Truth. Shane, a little over a year ago, I asked you what I should do to prepare for programming in college. I'm happy to say 1 year into college, I have a very strong understanding of HTML, JavaScript, and PHP, and Java. My question is, what's your favorite language to work with? I don't suppose you have a favorite programming language.
Let's see. Where should we start with you, Shane? It's a long list, ain't it?
No, since you don't, I'll just say a bit of what's currently my favorite stuff to do. Long time ago, I was really a fan of PHP for web stuff, but really I'm not a fan of that anymore, seeing as there's so much intermediate code that needs to be written for interacting with the page, then the JavaScript, and then the actual server itself. So that's kind of, it's kind of annoying. But I'd say my all-time favorite language would have to be C++. Main reason being is that it allows for all the low-level access that a person can get with C, but it also provides some modern conveniences like classes and automatic memory management, that sort of thing. So it's a nice middle ground between ultimate low-level and high-level languages like Java and Objective-C and C#. So that would have to be my favorite one.
Okay.
But I will say that functional languages like Lisp and whatnot are interesting, albeit not that useful in day-to-day life.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, next one is from our man. Hey, guys, next week I will try to record. I'm moving house this week, so I think I'll be listening to this show while leveling up my strength moving furniture skill. Anyway, I got 3 questions this week. 1, what are these paths I have noticed? They must have come out when I was away. Are they just trying to entice people to quest more? 2, have either of you guys ever played Dungeons & Dragons? Might add this to questions next week. And 3, Shane, this is for you. What did the fox say? Have a good one. Peace out. All right, man. I don't get that fox stuff anymore. But
yeah, neither do I.
Fox said...
He made some kind of screechy noise, didn't he?
Mm.
But, I don't know. It was very hard to pull apart what exactly was said. I just heard it as some sort of a screechy noise, but I'll leave it at that. The path system is something that came out in November with the new tutorials. Basically, what happens is that once you start up playing the game, probably 5 to 10 minutes after the fact, you get plopped down in Taverly, and you can choose a path, and this path will guide you through the game as to an ultimate end goal, whether that be a quest or some sort of achievement. It will provide you with things to do along that route in order to get there. So an example might be doing a quest, and through that quest you'll level up certain skills, learn things about the game, and ultimately complete this quest and walk away with your 2-squill fortune spins. So it's just basically a more interactive tutorial that gets you playing the game faster, aimed at new players.
Mm. All right. 2. Shane, you ever played Dungeons & Dragons?
No.
I have.
The
college
game?
Days. Oh, it's fun. No. Well, I assume it should be the regular old-fashioned roll the dice. The die is cost.
Yeah, that's what I was assuming it meant by this, the card game, rather than an online version, but...
It's not a card game.
I thought it was.
It's not a card game.
Okay.
You create a character, and then you have the dungeon master who's basically tell you what's going to happen, and you, as your character, roll the dice to see what would happen. And if you're really nerdy and if you really think outside the box and think of crazy things to do. However, I couldn't believe in the heart of the dice, so I never really got anything. I just got hurt. I actually hurt myself more.
Your physical self.
No, my character.
Oh, okay. So this, I assume, didn't go on for too long then, and it was not successful.
Well, we kind of went along with it. Every time in college days on a Friday evening, nothing else to do anyway, unless you want to get drunk.
No. All right. Well, thank you, RR Man. Last one would be from MageGuy08. Dear host, do you think that the new update polls will actually work? I've never heard of a game driving all updates off of polls, and it honestly seems like they will become chaotic or ineffective. Also, do either of you actually believe that the community can be trusted to decide the game's updates? Magic.
Well, all right. As I said before, they've already planned all this stuff already. They're just saying, which one should we give out first? That's
exactly
basically the whole idea behind this. They've already made they've already started Invention and the Quest City and all the other drop loot and whatnot. They're just trying to see, where should we put this mini game and which one should we release first to make the people happy? They've already thought of all this.
Yeah, and one important thing to make note of is that when this was announced, they did say that there are certain aspects of the game, such as anti-bot measures, real-world trading, EOC, the combat update, and quests and lore, will actually still be managed by Jagex themselves, because they want to keep going in that direction, and they're committed to the evolution of combat. So, for me, I had these exact same feelings all through last year when they started using polls for update, whether it be for old school, prestige, that sort of thing, that I honestly don't trust the players to manage large scoped updates like that. So what makes it okay for me is that Jagex seems to be committed to their core principles of, you know, advancing certain storylines, keeping EOC in the game, and tweaking it constantly as we go along. Now, I mean, they said also with this that unless it's a clear no, something could surface again in the future. So that also makes me feel a little bit better about this. I kind of wish this system was in place for the prestige vote back then rather than just having a impromptu poll on it. So, but I definitely share your concerns, and it's because of what Jagex has done over the last 18 months, in my view, that we ought to give them a chance with this system.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why I'm not rage quitting and quitting the game.
Mm-hmm. I never trusted the players to really do things well anyway. considering the fact that, you know, people voted to get rid of GE limits and all that kind of stuff, and I was like, bring true PvP back into the wilderness, and it's like, you're just telling bot companies to just make 10,000 characters and vote, considering it's all free to play anyway. Free to play, we're allowed to vote as well.
Right, that was a free to play one, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the important thing also is that this week's update is members only. So it's not something that, you know, we need to completely worry about. People creating accounts and just voting for the hell of it. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm done on this subject, and I think the ship has set sail, and we just got to wait to see what happens, unless you have anything else to mention on it. You good?
All right.
Righto. Well, that's it for questions this week, everybody. We're going to move straight on to tech news right now. First up, this week, Verizon had a little victory over FCC rules. So, you know, this really should not be called net neutrality here, because it isn't just talking about this. You and I were talking pre-show, and tell everybody what you told me.
For which one?
The net neutrality Verizon thing.
Well, basically, they'll just charge you people, charge where you can go. If you want faster speed, you can just, you have to have this, like, pay me in order to stream faster using my service.
Yeah, which is ultimately could be painful for Netflix. So you're on a ISP, Verizon in this case, and Verizon decides, oh, we don't like that, and they will levy this fee onto Netflix, which Netflix will have no choice, and levy it onto you, and that will, you know, increase the amount of streaming required from Verizon's end in order to get access to Netflix. Which, you know, when you think about it, this whole idea of charging more for certain services comes down to protecting interests of an industry that doesn't really get on in the modern internet world, as I would say. So,
there's still money to be made. That's why, well, most of us are hoping Google Fiber really spreads throughout the U.S. and basically gives a big, you know, flip the bird to every other ISP in the country.
Exactly. And, I mean, that's what I've been saying for a while now, is that internet as a whole really should be treated as a utility, the same way you get water or electricity to your household. It doesn't matter who you're getting it through. It's coming through the same pipe. You're just paying differently based on what you get. And there is no discrimination based on what you use your water for, whether you're watering your grass or you're washing dishes. So it should kind of be the same thing for the internet.
I think the FCC judge probably was bought off.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you could have a situation like that, but it's very, very hard to tell if something like that is happening. And I mean, even if it is, who is ever going to see the light of day on something like that?
Well, you remember a couple of years ago when the FCC gave the green light for Comcast to buy off NBC?
Right.
You know who that judge works for now?
One of those two companies.
No, Comcast, because they bought off NBC, remember?
Yeah.
He became a lobbyist person for Comcast. Look it up.
Yeah, and I mean, see, this is one of the big problems with the internet in general, and I guess the legal system, is that these sorts of things are being applied to the internet, and it's going to take a new generation of people to stop it, I guess, but I guess that's where the money is.
Well, as you would say, Comcast shouldn't need FCC approval anyway. They should just bought up NBC and every other company in the world and let's have at it.
Actually, no.
There you would. You've said that many times.
I actually think that when it comes to large corporations eating one another and absorbing them and becoming fatter, I actually do think at that level, a certain amount of regulation is actually a good thing.
Then how come when I said the same thing about Office Depot buying off Office Max, you said, why do they need approval?
Because Office Depot and Office Max are much smaller than Comcast and NBC.
Because they're different revenue stream, but Shane, those two companies are pretty big in the U.S.
Yeah, they are. But the thing is that I think more people interact with Comcast and NBC on a daily basis than they do with those.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, a certain degree of regulation is good when it comes to large corporate takeovers like that. Just not too much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they also said with this that Netflix costs for an HD stream could go up by an amount of $4 per person. If this actually does happen. So that $7.99 fee would become $11.99 for HD and $8.99 for standard def. But yeah, prices will be passed on to the consumer, unfortunately, because people like to discriminate against little bits of data on the internet called packets. Alrighty. Next up, Microsoft confirms that the Syrian Electronic Army hacked into their email accounts.
That's bad.
Yeah. Basically, the Electronic Division of Syria's Army noticed Microsoft's Outlook web access accounts and got into several of them, and they posted three internal emails. They discuss compromises to Microsoft-owned Twitter accounts, and they do show that the army gained much larger access than just the social network accounts. So just given the fact that Microsoft is vulnerable to this, really, really creates a bit of a problem for other companies as well in terms of hacking, and really just proves that it's a constantly moving ball game at keeping safe. You know, I mean, if you think about it, everybody should, say, change their passwords every 6 months. I think that's a valuable time to do that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's good. Heck, we kind of thought about it a while ago. We should just go, you know, drop a bomb in the Middle East, but that's a totally different story. Solve so many problems, just end it now.
All right. That might be a topic for this year's Uncorked show. But, basically, if Microsoft needs to keep themselves safe, we should all do the same thing by keeping our passwords changed and fresh, vigilant. Just to give you an idea of what happened, they got access to the official Skype, blog, and Twitter accounts and posted an anti-Microsoft tweet that was retweeted more than 8,000 times.
And as I recall, one of the safest way to secure, to really make your password is have a notepad on your desktop or somewhere on your computer that's somehow encrypted and pound your hand onto the keyboard. And whatever that is, that ends up being, that's your password to use for whatever. And then you just copy and paste.
Yeah, that is one way of doing it. An encrypted file, but then you open yourself up to attack of clipboard attacks and whatnot. The best actual way of generating safe passwords and storing them securely is with an application called LastPass. It's free and online. There's also something called KeePass, which is open source and not online if you are into that sort of thing. And there's also an OS X iOS solution called 1Password.
There's that. Yeah, that's it. Oh, right. I remember that. Okay.
Also, one final note. It could be related to password security along with phishing. A Microsoft employee wanted to make his password stronger, so he changed it from Microsoft 2 to Microsoft 3. That's what a person said, an army person said in a spokesperson tweet.
Well, in theory, if you can manage to remember all the passwords, because with me, I'm not allowed to reuse old passwords. I have to make a new one every 3 to 4 months, which is actually very annoying. And sometimes you know, unless you write it down, there's no way you can remember every single password you've written. So usually people just try and find some way around it. It's actually quite annoying sometimes.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what LastPass is for. I've told people around here that, you know, you shouldn't be just doing that. You should actually make new ones each time, so.
But as you and I kind of both do, we have a couple of levels of password. Level 1 is like, I don't care if you hack it. It's to my throwaway account. And up to level 5 or 7, we're just like, you get this. I'm
Yep, pretty much. Okay, so Microsoft, stay safe. Let's all stay safe on the internet. What's next?
3D printing is about to become huge with the patent running out, and this year they're planning a prototype where they can print a house in under 24 hours. So
that's good.
Basically, what's going to happen? So there's actually a little animation here. It's kind of, think of it like a giant crane Well, no. Remember how a couple of years ago when 3D printing was starting to become, was in this prototype, and they made tiny figurines of stuff, and you know, how like we used to put it layer by layer by layer?
Yep.
And it had a little crane shape thing. That's kind of the idea, but maximized to its, you know, magnified by 10,000 fold.
Like on the level of a house.
Mm-hmm. So we're going pretty far with this. We've actually had Hershey, who's planning on making a line where 3D printing can actually make our chocolate bars. And some people are trying to make cars. Some people are using it to build weapons. Some people are building to build whatever. I think this is kind of good for 3D printing because if for those who are living in a disaster area, kind of like Katrina or Sandy Hook. Sandy itself. Sorry, my bad. With Katrina and some of the other natural disasters that has happened, they can basically mass produce houses and get a community back on its feet in about, you know, 1 month instead of now, where look at Haiti, it's still in shambles. Part of Louisiana is still in shambles. Jersey, parts of New York, Rhode Island are still rebuilding from the hurricanes. So I think this is kind of good. And we've also learned from past experience that mass producing house isn't that hard. Those who remember history, after around the 1950s and 60s, when the baby boomer generation was coming out, there was a huge demand for houses because everyone came back from the war. They were making great money. They could afford a house and everything else. And that's why a lot of suburbs, you see the same house again and again and again. Yep. And again and again and again. They're basically doing the same thing, just making it 20 times better. Making it more efficient, I would say.
I mean, like you said, primarily in disaster zones, this would be great. You just bring these in, they're pre-made, and you know, it takes normally between 6 months and a year to build a house if you're really onto things, sometimes longer if you have problems. So just being able to get this done in a fraction of time is great.
And you know, one other little thing is with 3D printing coming out, it's kind of some huge shifts that's happening. Unfortunately, Shane, you and I are too poor to invest in any of them.
Yeah.
Unless you trust me enough to do a trust fund with me, you, Mike, and maybe a couple other people.
I don't know if I would put my money into 3D printing this time.
Yeah, would you have put money into Google when it first went public?
Looking back, yeah, definitely.
I would have. I just had no money to put in.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been one of the ones get in on.
We were all small college students.
Well, I mean, maybe 3D printing can, I want to say that this is a good thing, but at the same time, it's not, 3D printing is not creating the jobs that are needed in a country. A country needs those kind of jobs, the labor jobs, in order to be effective and generate jobs that pretty much anyone can do and still be successful at. So, I mean, that's really the downside of this, if you look at it.
You don't need
a framer.
Look at it this way. Yeah. Well, look at it this way, Shane. It will probably be cheaper to pay the guy here to put the sticker on the USB than it is to ship the item back from overseas.
Yeah, that's true. So I guess you could do it here and then it'd be fine.
Oh, that was so bad.
All right.
Moving on.
Attack skill of the month. What do we got?
Evan, it's quite interesting, actually. It's sort of like a repeat of last week, isn't it?
Yeah. Unfortunately. Currently, Jamandy 52 still in first place with 1.4 million experience gained. Second place, One Stone Pwn at around 700,000. And third place, Mage Guy 08 at 496,000 experience.
Someone tried to start a heart, but it didn't work.
Yeah, good amount of people have flatlined, haven't they?
Clerks!
That's a bad analogy to use, but that's what we got. And I mean, attack is kind of a boring skill of the month when you think about it, compared to other things it could be. But I think it's still anyone's game at this point. So I look forward to seeing what happens.
Okay.
All right. Next up, achievements of the week. First one, Jade Gizmo, 99 defense on the 17th.
We have Poison Nova, we got 99 woodcutting on January 16th.
And finally, Parnassius with 99 divination on the 12th. Good work all around.
Yay!
Also, in other good news, I'd like to welcome Tanis to Informer. He's our newest writer joining the group. His article will be published later this month in time for the January cycle to end. It's a very, very interesting piece, provides a great perspective on what's going on with Jagex recently and how the game has changed over the past number of years. So you can look forward to reading that. And he is on RS as well. I've seen him hanging around in the clan chat, or friends chat, I mean, sorry. So if you see him, just say hello and introduce yourselves.
Yay.
Alrighty. I believe you have
All right, what's next, Shane? Small little pick. With kind of what's been going on and classes coming back on, I thought this might be a little good thing to share. It's called OR Live. So
this isn't
OR Live
room feeds, is it?
Oh no, but do be warned, some videos here are graphic in nature, just by nature of the website itself.
Okay.
Anyway, the whole point of this thing is it's kind of like a more sophisticated version of WebMD. It's kind of like if let's say you're about to go into surgery for whatever reason, or you have something, you want to get a little more information how it's performed, this is one of those sites that actually does it. It actually breaks down each one by service. You have cardiology, no bit of diabetes, some things about the stomach, kidneys, blood, a little bit of everything, cancer. So let's say if you're ever want curious about you know, what new innovations are coming into the field to you know, with your operation, you kind of take a look at how it's done, why we do it, what's the rate of success, and everything else.
What's the most interesting one you've seen?
Most interesting one I've seen. Well, let's see. I saw the one that was on what was it? Gallbladder removal. So basically,
oh, okay.
What happens? Yeah, it's they're testing a new innovation. How they can basically do a very, very tiny incision into your stomach area and just go on in and cut it off and get it out really, really quick.
That's good. Because isn't the gallbladder one of the most useless things that we have?
No, if you actually lose that, Shane, you will not be able to eat meat very well ever again.
Oh, really?
The gallbladder is actually part of the liver. The gallbladder's job is to, what's called emulsifying fat. And basically that means it breaks down fat so your body can digest it easier. Those who have their gallbladder removed actually cannot eat very fatty food anymore, or at least have to kind of eat lean meat or meat or no meat at all. Because what happens is the gallbladder is used to store something called bile, and that bile is what is secreted into the small intestine from the liver in order to break down fat so you can digest it and use it. When you lose the gallbladder, your liver will constantly make bile. However, there's no area for them to be stored and to be released en masse after you've eaten a meal. So you constantly have a stream of bile that's secreted into the small intestine. However, if you eat a very fatty meal, there's not enough of it to use it, and you'll actually vomit. You could vomit or, you know, go out the other end. One of our former moderators actually has it. Had that removed.
What's one of the most useless things in the human body, then?
I think every single part of human body is still used for one reason or another. They used to believe that the they used to think the appendix was completely useless, but however, after a couple years ago, they did some studies on it and they actually found there is a use for it. However, for people like you and me who live in first world country, it's not as efficient as it would if you were living in like some part of middle of nowhere in Africa or Asia.
I see.
Yeah, it was actually an interesting article I read a couple of years ago. Basically, the idea of remember just that bacteria, this good bacteria that's in your gut that actually helps you digest food and break down food and everything else. The problem with it, though, is with the idea behind the appendix is that it's actually used as a way to store your good bacteria. And what happens if you suddenly in the middle of nowhere and you ate something really bad and had the runs, the appendix is supposed to kind of re-inject all that bacteria back into your stomach so you can, have a healthy flora of bacteria back in your gut to digest food and everything else again. Over in places where you're living in first world country and just walking down the street, you're exposed to 10,000 different types of bacteria anyway, it kind of refills up pretty quick.
Oh, okay.
And
I see.
That's the idea behind it. So anyway, yeah, you really want to see. I'm gonna try. You should try and look up a kidney transplant. Although I couldn't really find it here. A kidney transplant is quite interesting in a way.
Okay. I'll make a note of that. Well, what have we been up to?
You go first. I talked enough.
Okay. As for me this week on RS, primarily just been doing the world event. Been visiting the Queen Black Dragon a little bit. Providing internet connections are fine because I always find I need a good internet connection that night in order to slay the QBD effectively. So there's that. Also, just been doing some glacors as well. You were my inspiration for that. You can tell everyone why later.
Of course. Of course.
Yep. But nothing great yet for me from them, but hoping. And I reached the fourth region on my port, so I'm getting Cherrywood now. Yeah, that's
Yay,
my RS week.
Cherrywood. All right. RS week for me, I managed to get 90 construction, so I've been doing a lot of the port stuff, the storylines. I actually went and try and get the as much random events as I could get. At my level, you actually can get quite a bit if you make the totems correctly. And so what happened so far is yesterday was funny. I actually did both the chef and the architect's missions, and after they came back, I reset it, and suddenly I can do those again. I'm like, ooh, cool! So I killed a lot of like two storylines in one day. Third time, I couldn't get it. So that was quite nice. I'm finishing off the chef and architect storyline. What was the other thing? Did a little divination because it was one of my daily tasks and I knew I should start doing those again. So I did a little bit of divination. Managed to get 98 fire making, Shane, which is quite nice.
Oh, good. I still think that's one of the most useless skills to get to 99.
Well, I'm just at Citadel leveling it up because I need that for smithing XP.
Yeah.
I don't care. What was there? So yeah, and on Sunday, I decided to try my hands at soloing Bandos. I did okay. I managed to kill it a couple of times. However, my lack of food, I couldn't stay very long after, so I had to go. But I did well. I actually got a Bandos chest plate. And from that, the next day, I decided to test my hand with clay cores. And I managed to get ranging boots from it. That was quite nice.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I've not got any boots from them yet in all the time I've been doing them, so I should be due for one soon.
Do pick up those water talisman notes.
Yes, those are great. One note for you as what you can do to make your trips prolong longer, because I know you're having a bit of an issue with this. Bring a prayer renewal potion and the penance aura.
Yeah, I was testing it out.
Yeah, those will extend your trip for a long, long time. Basically, if you have those two things up, you can just constantly run through an hour of that aura with only two super restore potions. So that's how good that combination is. And when you do that,
I've been using regular prayer potions.
Oh yeah, that works too. Mainly you're just going off the renewal and getting you to do less of the drain aspect. That's what the penance and the renewal thing prevents from happening. But nonetheless, they're a nice thing to fight. They're not too bad. And if you've done Ritual of the Majora, you might as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you get a little charge thing from the Stone of Jazz, so that's quite nice to be there.
Yeah, that is good.
A little bonus
effect. Let's see, what are they at? Steadfast Boots, 17 million.
Woo!
Is that the ones you got?
Oh, I had the ranging one. Yeah, mine was around 7.
Okay, Glavian are 8.6. And, what would the other one be? I forget what the other one is. Ah, Ragefire, 7.2. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I got. Ragefire one.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yes. I've been working on getting Hunter up.
Oh, that's good. What have you been doing for that?
Dumping my lamps in it. That's all I've been doing.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's fine. My lamps from the world event have gone on to summoning. Since that's an expensive skill. All right.
I could get 99 Herblore, but I don't feel like it.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, like I said, told you, don't rush for it. Just get it as it comes. Anything else before we wrap up?
Almost forgot. I believe this tick. Well, I don't know when this show will be out, like, later tonight, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so the tick, if you're listening to the day it's released, this is the last tick for the world event. So I believe tomorrow is going to be end, I believe it is, right?
I think,
or
it's going to
be one
Monday.
More tick. Like,
yeah,
end on
Monday. I don't know.
Okay, so it ends either today, either tomorrow or the next day, and therefore you might want to cash in on all your lamps XP before it ends.
I think they'll leave that around for a bit, like they did with the last one. I just don't think you'll be able to get any more points from it.
Mm-hmm.
Which would make sense.
All right.
Well, that's it for us, and we will see you guys next week. Have a good week. Take care.